Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Glory be to the name of the Lord.
Amen.
So I thank God for this opportunity to share the inspired word of God. I always love to be where you are because I love to listen. I love to just sit down and soak in what the word is saying. But at the same time, I believe it's a privilege to be able to pass on the inspired word of God.
Amen.
It's a privilege for me to be able to handle what God spoke from his mouth, and I consider this a privilege.
Yeah.
So thank you for giving me this opportunity. Father Lord, I thank you for this time that your word is going to go forth. Father Lord, the entrance of your word brings light. I pray that your light will flood our hearts. Father Lord, I pray that I shall not speak in the flesh. Mm-hmm. I take authority over nerves. Mm-hmm. Father Lord, I pray that your anointing shall be upon me. As your word goes forth, healing shall take place.
Yes. Yes.
Hearts shall be changed.
Yes.
Broken hearts shall be mended.
Amen.
Spirit of the living God, you shall go over this place and you shall heal. And you shall help us to grow in your word. Mm. That this shall be a turning point in our lives, Lord.
Mm.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Today I'm going to be speaking on our identity in Christ. What's our identity? Now, many of us, we are born with some level of identity. We are given identity when we are born. And when you became born again, you were given an identity. You don't create your identity.
Christ.
Jesus or God gives you an identity. But the problem is that we are in a world and we are being bombarded by the news. And the world is trying to squeeze us into its mold. And if we are not careful, we will lose our identity that we are supposed to have in Jesus Christ. Who are you as a born-again Christian? Who really are you? The Bible says in 1 John 4 verse 9 that God manifested his love for us, that he sent Jesus into the world that we may live through him. That we may live through him. How do you live through somebody? When I was researching on this, I found a phrase on the internet. It says to live vicariously through somebody. It means that you enjoy somebody else's life as if it was yours.
Amen.
Or you imagine their circumstances as your own.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't that what Jesus offers us?
Mm-hmm.
Now, John chapter 6, verse 57, Jesus, while he was speaking, he says, as the Father, as the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean to eat the Lord? We are not carnivores. I believe what it means to eat the Lord, we've just had the communion a while ago. That's one way we eat the flesh of Jesus Christ. But I believe that to eat the Lord means to feed on his word. Jesus Christ is the word of God. So we feed on the word of God. But as a Christian, are you living through Christ? Do you think you are living through Christ, and are you living by Christ? Because many times as Christians, we become born again and we are engrossed in the works. We are engrossed in becoming holy. We are engrossed in church going and doing the services in church. But do you really sit down to think about who really am I? What happened to me when I became born again?
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is a story that is told of a lion that was raised among sheep. And this lion lost its identity because it was raised among sheep. So when they would go out into the forest, and this sheep lion, and the sheep would see a lion, all of them will run away, even the sheep lion. But one day, when they went to drink water in a stream, and the sheep lion saw its reflection in the river, and said, I look like that thing we run away from. So this lion had lost its identity by reason of the environment. And so the next time they went into the forest, and this sheep lion saw the lion, the sheep lion went over and joined the lion because the lion now realized what it was. It was a lion. Now, is it possible that we as Christians, we could be roaring, but we are bleating like sheep because we have lost our identity to our environment? Is it possible that we are submitting ourselves to circumstances that we are not supposed to be submitting to because we have lost our identity? Jesus Christ is our identity. If you're a born-again Christian, God gave Jesus Christ to us as a gift. And to the extent that you receive him, that is the extent to which you will manifest the life that Jesus lived on earth. The Bible says in John 1 that to them that receive him, that receiving is not a passive receipt. That word is lambano, the Greek word, I think, is lambano. It means to take, to seize. To those that receive him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. And to receive him does not mean you just give your life to Christ and then we just go our way. We just do the works of God. It means that you have to really meditate on what it means to be a Christian. So what I seek to do today is just to help us to see the parallel between us as Christians and Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is a reflection, or we are a reflection of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we are born of God. When you became born again, you were born of God. How did Jesus Christ come to earth? He was born of God. We are born of God as born again Christians. Jesus Christ is also born of God. That's our identity. Have you ever thought about what it means to be born of God? God gave birth to us. He's the Almighty. We are born of God. If you think about Prince William, he is born in a royal family. And what does that accord him? It accords him respect. But we don't really see ourselves like that. But if we saw ourselves, think about the fact that I am born of God. That is something awesome. Many times when we become born again, we say, I have now been born again. But maybe if we looked at it a different way, if we saw it in a different light, we would appreciate more what Jesus Christ did for us. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, it says that it is only right that God, who creates and preserves all things, should make Jesus perfect through suffering in order to bring many sons to share his glory. That's another way of looking at what it means to be born again. The Bible says Jesus came to call many sons to glory. What does Romans chapter 3, verse 23 say? It says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we fell short of the glory, and Jesus came to restore us back to that glory. And let's see what does the word glory mean. When I looked at the meaning, it says grandeur, splendor, opulence, magnificence, dignity, preeminence, a thing belonging to God. That's God's glory. And then in John 17, verse 22, Jesus, while he was praying to his Father in preparation for his crucifixion, he tells the Father, "Father, the glory that you gave me, I have given to them." Brothers and sisters, we have the exact same glory that Jesus Christ had. What does this glory do for us? Is it just so that we, as Christians, we sing about it, but we don't really experience it? When we have God's glory, look at what happened when Jesus manifested his glory. He told Martha, "Didn't I tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" What did that glory produce? Lazarus was raised from the dead. That's the exact same glory that Jesus has given us. The Bible says in John chapter 1 that Jesus manifested his glory when he did the first miracle in changing water into wine. The Bible says Jesus manifested his glory. So the glory of God leads to miracles. The glory of God leads to a miraculous life. That's our identity in Christ. We share his glory, the exact same glory. It is not lower. Jesus did not give us anything that is lower than his. The exact same glory that God gave Jesus, he shares with us. That is our identity. And we should think about how it is that God Almighty sent Jesus, and the exact same glory, we have it, so that we don't sell ourselves short. Additionally, the Bible says that Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. Jesus the vine, we are the branches. Now, when you see a vine, you don't say, "Oh, look at the branch of a vine." What do you call all of that tree? You call it the vine. Jesus is the vine, we are the branches. That means we are so united, such that you do not separate the branch from the vine. You call everything the vine. And the vine and the branch, they share the same nature. They share the same space, the same location. The same sap that flows through the branches also flows through the vine. The vine is not different from the branch. That is how united we are in Christ Jesus. And then the Bible says that the same spirit that Jesus has, we have the same spirit. That's your identity. The exact same spirit that Jesus has, we have it. Brothers and sisters, if you look at the Bible, if you study the Bible, you will find that so many things that God says about Jesus, he says about us. The exact same thing that God says about Jesus, he says about us. The Bible also says that he gave us his spirit that we may freely know all things. We may freely know all things. Do you think you know all things? Why don't we know all things? He gave us his spirit that we may freely know all things. Now, in our human minds, we don't know all things. But when you became born again, what part of you became born again? The spirit became born again. Our spirit, from the day you became born again, is perfect. It doesn't need any amendment. It's perfect. It's holy. That is a part of you that knows all things. But if my spirit knows all things, how does that help me in the physical? How it helps is that what your spirit knows has to be transferred into the physical. How is this done? By reading the Word of God, and you meditate on it, and you have faith that what your spirit knows, that the Holy Spirit can help it to manifest in the physical. The Bible also says, Jesus tells a certain man, with God, all things are possible. And then he turns around and tells us, if you believe, nothing shall be impossible with you. Mm-hmm. He starts by saying, with God, all things are possible. Mm-hmm. But then he tells us, if you believe, nothing shall be impossible. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? He places us in the same class as God. Mm-hmm. Brothers and sisters, we may think that that's blasphemy, but it's not. Mm-hmm. With God, all things are possible. And then with us, if you believe, nothing shall be impossible with us. Carol, if you believe, nothing shall be impossible. Our problem is that the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. The Bible says that we are in the world, but we are not of the world. But the problem is that we are too much in the world, as opposed to being in the Word of God. And there is no way you can think like an earthly person and receive things from heaven. The only way you can receive things from heaven is to have the mind of Christ. And that's another way we have the identity of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. If we have the mind of Christ, that means we know the things that Christ knows. And as I was meditating on this scripture, I remember that the Bible says that no one knows the day the Father is going to come. Not even Jesus Christ, the Son, knows the day. Just the Father knows. And it just dropped in my spirit that the reason that even Jesus does not know is because if Jesus knows, then we would know. Yes. Because that is how united we are. If Jesus knows, we would know. That is why the Father does not tell Jesus. Because the Bible says that we have the Spirit of Jesus. We have the Spirit of God. And it also says that the Spirit searches the deep things of God and reveals them to us. That is how inseparable we are with Jesus. Brothers and sisters, the same works that Jesus did, we can do also. But these things do not happen because we read these scriptures and you don't see yourself like Jesus. You don't see the parallel between you and Jesus. We just think we are humans. Brothers and sisters, we are not merely humans. Amen. We are not merely humans. Jesus lives on the inside of us, the Spirit of God. The Bible says that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they have come and they have made their abode in us. How do you have the three of the most important persons in the universe living in you, and you are normal? Sometimes it feels like we accord more respect to the devil than to God.
Yeah.
Because if somebody behaves in a certain way, we say the person is demon possessed. Why is that person behaving like that? That person is acting under the influence of whatever demon is inside him or her.
Yeah.
And then somebody expects that when I have the Holy Spirit, when I have God, I'm supposed to be normal. I can't be normal. It's not possible for me to be normal.
Amen.
And the more we allow these things to get into us, the more we allow these things to get into our minds, that is the more we are going to experience the life of God. If not, brothers and sisters, all that is going to work for us is just that we become born again and we are just waiting to go to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And gone are those days when Christianity was about the future. You just get born again so that you just wait and suffer in this world and wait until God comes and gets you. This is just my opinion, but I believe that getting born again to go to heaven constitutes about 1% of what Jesus came to accomplish.
Yeah.
We just read here that Jesus came to call many sons to glory. And you have seen what glory means.
Yeah.
Dignity, splendor, grandeur, magnificence, preeminence. He came to call many sons to glory. And you have seen what glory can produce. Glory produces a miraculous life. Glory raises human beings from the dead. Glory changes water into wine. That's what a glorious life does. The Bible also says that as he is, so are we in this world. 1 John 4, verse 17. As Jesus is, so are we in this world. As Jesus is, so are we in this world. What do you do with a scripture like that?
Wow.
As Jesus is, so are we in this world. You know, sometimes I read these scriptures and I'm like, Lord, you are joking, right? As Jesus is, so am I in this world. Glenda, as Jesus is, so are you in this world. Not so you are going to be when you get to heaven. So are you right now in this world. That scripture, it starts by saying that herein is the love of God manifested, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. That means in the day of judgment, you don't have to be afraid. You are holy. You are righteous. Jesus is your righteousness. As Jesus is, so are we in this world.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Then it says in 2 Peter 1, verse 4, that he has given us his great and precious promises that we may be partakers of the divine nature. Brothers and sisters, I put it to you that you are divine.
Amen. Thank you. Amen.
Yeah. Have you ever walked around your room and you tell yourself,
yes,
I am divine?
Yes.
Have you ever said that to yourself? Why can't you say exactly what the Bible says about you? They went and asked John the Baptist, who are you? So that we can tell the persons who sent us. What did John the Baptist say? I am a voice crying in the wilderness. He says exactly what was prophesied about him in Isaiah. Why can't you say exactly what God has said about you? I am divine. And the more you acknowledge these things, the more you experience the life of God. Brothers and sisters, you can't just become a Christian and just all you have done is become a Christian and you're just breezing through life.
Hallelujah.
The only thing that makes you different from an unbeliever is that you're going to heaven. That's the only difference. You are not going to experience the power of God. You are not going to experience the glory of God. These things must be in you. Your mind must be renewed to these things that are in the Word of God. Let's keep going. Do you know that God shares his throne with us? Has it ever occurred to you that God shares his throne with us? The Bible says that we are in Christ Jesus. We are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know, when I saw that scripture, I said, Lord, now can you really share your throne with me? And immediately the Holy Spirit reminded me of a scripture that says, even the Son on Pharaoh's throne. That scripture is speaking about when God sent the plagues and killed the firstborn son in Egypt. And then the scripture says, even the son on Pharaoh's throne was also killed. And God brought that scripture to me. And what God told me was that if a human being can share his throne with his son, I can do much more than that. God shares his throne with us. And that is not a scripture that gives you goosebumps. That's not a scripture like by the stripes of Jesus Christ I am healed that you meditate and think about it. That scripture, the Holy Spirit just brought it to me. It's not something you focus on at all. God shares his throne with us. Brothers and sisters, you are seated with Jesus Christ and the Father. Just close your eyes and imagine yourself, the Father on the throne, Jesus Christ, and you inside Jesus Christ. Who can be against you? You know, so when I saw this scripture, I said, Lord, it's amazing for me to sit on the floor by your side. If I were on the floor, I mean, that's great, just being around Jesus on the floor. But the Father says, no, I value you more than that. Come sit on the throne with me. But you know our problem? We crawl off the throne and wallow in the dirt. Like mere men, when God has placed us so high.
Amen.
The Bible says, Jesus says in John chapter 17, he says, I sanctify myself so that they also may be sanctified. I sanctify myself so that they also may be sanctified. That means Jesus is our yardstick. Whatever Jesus does, we can do. I sanctify myself so that they also may be sanctified. Anything that Jesus does, we can also do. The same works that Jesus does or Jesus did, we can do, and even greater works. I wonder what the greater works are, because we are not even doing the same works. So we shouldn't even think about the greater works until we have done the same works that Jesus did. And I remember when I was in Jamaica, I think I was about 2 years old. Those days I used to preach on the bus. Like the buses we have here in Salisbury. In Jamaica, we have big buses like this, and I've never seen any bus packed here. In Jamaica, the buses are jam-packed. We are like sardines.
Yeah.
And I had just gone to Jamaica, and I was about, 2 years in Jamaica with a foreign accent. And I just used to feel this. It's just like I was compelled to get up and preach in the bus. I was so afraid with a foreign accent. But, you know, it's like Elijah says, this is like fire in my bones. I could not forbear. And even though I'm afraid, I'll get up and I'll preach. And then on one of these occasions, I don't remember if I preached that day or not, a gentleman was standing in the bus, and the gentleman just slumped and passed out. And people scampered away. And I'm not a very bold person, but that day it's just like the Spirit of God came upon me, and I went and I grabbed this man and I started praying in the name of Jesus. I'm shouting on top of my voice, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke the spirit of death. Come back to life in the name of Jesus. And this man came back to life. And we saw a police car and we flagged it down, and they took the man to the hospital. And then some years later, this would have happened, I think, in 2006 or 2007. Some years later, I'm thinking about that incident, and I'm saying, did I really raise somebody from the dead? I'm sure that man was just unconscious, and he would have come back to life anyway, even if I did not pray. And the Holy Spirit rebuked me sharply. He said, don't make light of that incident. Remember that I proved to you that that man was actually dead. And it so happened that after I had prayed for that man, when I alighted at my bus stop, a young man, he would have been about 23, 25, he came down with me from the bus. And then he told me, do you know that that man was actually dead? And I said, I don't know. He said that when I was praying for that man, that God opened his eyes in the spirit realm, and that he saw that that man was dead. Wow. That if I hadn't prayed for him, that that man's corpse would have been taken out of the bus.
Wow.
And the young man was just encouraging me. He says, God is using you. Keep on doing what you're doing. You are blessed. Why am I saying this thing? Look at me. The same works that Jesus did, we can do.
Amen.
God can use any one of us here, not because you are holy. Many times we think, oh, it's because I'm not holy enough. When Peter raised healed the lame man at the beautiful gate, he said, it's not because of our holiness that this man is healed, but it's just because of the name of God, or the name of Jesus. He says, the Bible says, these works shall, these works shall follow them that believe, or those that believe, they shall do these works. He didn't say those that are Christians. He said those that believe, because I tell you, there are many Christians that do not believe.
Amen.
He says those that believe, these signs shall follow those that believe. There are many Christians that don't let the Bible get in the way of what they believe. They believe what they believe. My parents believe this, and this is what I believe. But are we going to be the Christians that believe? Are we going to be the Christians that just read the Word of God and take what it says? Are we going to be the kind of Christians, if God says, this is what I am, that's what God is. If God says, this is who you are, you just believe that that's who you are. The Bible also says in Psalms 82, verse 6 to 7, it says, I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. It says, ye are gods. If I haven't had a problem with anybody, I might have a problem with some persons now. Somebody might be thinking, are you saying we are gods? The Bible says ye are gods. Gods with a small letter G. It says we are gods. But if you don't acknowledge that, it says, but you shall die like men. And the Bible says, in the mouth of two witnesses, let a thing be established. Jesus repeats this scripture in the New Testament. When he tells, when he confesses that he's the Son of God, the Pharisees tell him, you are blaspheming. How can you say you are the Son of God? And Jesus repeats his scripture. He says, if God calls those to whom the world came gods, how can you say that I'm blaspheming? And then if we look in Hebrews 2, verse 6, from verse 6 to 9, where the Bible says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. And then some verses later, it describes Jesus as being also a little lower than the angels. It describes us first as being a little lower than the angels. And then some verses later describes Jesus, who became a little lower than the angels so that he could die for us. Brothers and sisters, that's our identity. The Bible says ye are gods, not gods with a capital G, but God with a small letter G. When a goat, do you think a goat gives birth to a lion? When a goat gives birth, it gives birth to a goat, right?
Yeah.
If an elephant gives birth, it gives birth to what? An elephant. If God gives birth to who? If God gives birth, God gives birth to what? To God. Who are you born of? The Bible says, ye are gods. And then the Bible also says in John 3, I think verse 6, it says, he that is flesh, and he that is spirit is spirit. He that is flesh is flesh. He that is spirit is spirit. And there is a law in creation that like begets like. A goat does not give birth to an elephant. And so if you are born of God, you must be God even in a lesser capacity. That's who we are, brothers and sisters. Ye are gods. But ye shall die like men if you don't hold on to these things. And there is a sense in which this may all sound strange. And somebody may be thinking, what if all these are wrong? What if this is wrong? You know, I have asked God these questions too. No, when I receive these things, when these revelations come to me, I'll go back to God and say, Lord, what is this correct? Can I really think about my life like this? Am I right in claiming these things? And God told me something one day. He said, if you are wrong, I will correct you. All I'm looking at is your motive. What is your motive? All I can see is my child who is trying, who is reading my word and just trying to believe what it says. If you are wrong, I will correct you. The Ethiopian eunuch is all the way in the desert reading the book of Isaiah and does not understand. And God sends Philip all the way in the desert to go and correct him. Brothers and sisters, just see yourself as a child. See yourself as a child. God will correct you even if you are wrong. If human beings can create GPS,
Yeah. You
go the wrong way,
Yeah. And
the GPS must make sure it gets you to the right destination. God can correct you. But do you see God as a loving father? Our identity is that Jesus Christ is our standard. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. One day I was listening to a sermon and the preacher was saying things about that we should, that sometimes we suffer sickness, that God allows us to suffer sickness, something like that. And my spirit was really troubled. And I said, Lord, I don't think I agree with that. And as I was meditating on the scripture, this scripture came to me, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And God told me, anything that did not happen to Jesus, don't accept it. You can only suffer the way Jesus suffered. Any suffering that is outside what Jesus suffered, reject it. Jesus suffered persecution. If you want to persecute me, bring it on, I will accept it. Jesus suffered that. But any other thing that is not spelled out in the word that Jesus suffered, I refuse to suffer it. I rebuke that sickness. I refuse to suffer it. Jesus is our identity. Can you focus on him? Laser beam focus. Can you focus on Jesus? Now, why are these things not working in our lives? The Bible says, ye are gods. The Bible says, Jesus loves you as much as, God loves you as much as he loves Jesus. You share in his divine nature. Why don't these things work? Philemon 1 verse 6 says, the communication of thy faith, yes, becomes effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ. Amen. Jesus. Amen. Do you acknowledge these things that we are talking about? Amen. The communication of your faith becomes effective by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Do you acknowledge that you are divine? Do you acknowledge that you are a God? Do you acknowledge that nothing can be impossible with you? Do you acknowledge that you are born of God? Do you know what it means to be born of God? We are born of God. We are gods, like begets like. We are gods in a lesser capacity. And now, does this make you proud? No, this should make you like Peter. Peter looks at the glory of Jesus when they catch a lot of fish, and he says, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. It's humbling. It's humbling that God sends Jesus to walk on this earth. To walk on this earth, the earth that he created. And you could have just passed by Jesus and thought it, he was just another human being. What humility. What humility. No king on earth shares his throne with his subjects, but God shares his throne with us. What humility. God gives us his spirit. The same glory that he gave to Jesus, he gave to us. Now, the Bible says that Jesus found the things that were written of him. I have been anointed to heal the sick, to bind the brokenhearted. He found the things that were written of him and he lived it. Mm-hmm. Brothers and sisters, you have to find the things that are written of you in the Bible. Amen. Find the things that are written of you. The Bible says in Psalm 87 verse 3, glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. God has said glorious things about us. And we have to imbibe these things and believe them. What image is on the back of the £1 coin? Anybody knows? What image is on the back of the £1 coin? Huh? No, that's the front.
It's a crest. It's a crest.
Welsh
All right. Okay. Now, do you know why you don't know? You have not. Most of us are 40, 50, 60, 90. We've been using that £1 coin for years. But do you know why you don't know? You have not focused on it. Brothers and sisters, you can handle the word for ages and not be anything that's in the word because you have not focused on it. Paul tells Timothy, meditate on these things. Meditate on these things and devote yourselves wholly to these things. Brothers and sisters, the things of God are to be aggressively pursued. The world will not allow you to pursue the things of God. You have to fight. You have to be aggressive in pursuing the things of God and hold on to it tenaciously and not let it go. Elisha tells Elijah, please give me a double portion of your anointing. And Elijah says, if you see when I'm taken away, then you can have it. But if you don't see when I'm taken away, then you won't have it. Imagine the focus that Elisha had to have. Elijah could vanish in a twinkling of an eye. Elisha did not have any time to go to a bathroom break. He had to be fixated on Elijah because at any minute, Elijah could be snapped away and he missed the double portion. That's the level of focus we may have to receive these things. Brothers and sisters, invest your thoughts. Don't allow your thoughts to just go to different places. Invest your thought. There is profit in the kingdom. There is profit. The Bible says that it says these things did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. There is profit. Invest your thoughts. The word of God is true, but it's just that we won't work it. If you work the word, it will work for you. The word has worked for me. I mean, I have seen a little glimpse of what God can do in the life of somebody who can just be small in God's eyes. Just be small in God's eyes. Many of us are God's adults, but God is looking for children. Children are the ones that are being cared for. If you commit a crime, even in the world against a minor, you're going to be in trouble, in very big trouble. But if you commit a crime against an adult, it's not the same. The sentence may not be as stiff as against a minor. God is looking for children. God says, if you don't receive the kingdom of God as a child, then you will not enter his kingdom. You will not see the glory of God. And so, brothers and sisters, let's meditate on these things. Let's invest our thoughts and let's acknowledge. Anytime you read anything in the Bible that speaks about you, acknowledge it. The word of God is true. And God wants to bless us. God is looking for persons to use. And somebody may say, oh, but I'm not that holy. I'm not that holy. And I don't think God can use me. God's problem with us is not sin. We always think that the big elephant in the room is sin. God's problem with us is not sin. God's problem with us is unbelief. And somebody may think that this is cheap Christianity. Tell if it's better to teach people how to be holy and how to live right. The problem with that is that if you don't first of all know who you are, you can't live holy. So you first of all know these things, know who you are and the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and then God, the Holy Spirit, works in you and you can live a holy life. As Jesus is, so are we in this world. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen.